This fine evening on OVA Tonight, we're going to discuss another incest time travel movie from 1985. Wow, there's a lot of, like, that's a weird trope to have more than once in 1985, right?
Yeah, it is.
I think maybe incest was just popular in the 80s, because you think about it, like, of course you have the big Back to the Future.
Yeah.
Blue Lagoon is another one from the 80s that's, there's probably some more. I can't think of any.
Back to the Future specifically being another time travel.
Yeah. That is the story. Other from 1985. Like, that's the other big one.
Yeah. There's something in the air.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Welcome to OVA Tonight, this fine evening. It's such a great evening. It's like thunderstorming. There's both a heat advisory and unhealthy air alert that's currently outside.
Yep.
That is a great evening for OVAs. I'm Neil Osmond.
Indeed. I'm David Caldwell.
We are the premium podcast about obscure straight-to-video, original video animation anime from the 80s. We're not the only ones that cover OVAs, but I think we're the only ones who exclusively cover
Exclusively, OVAs. Yes, definitely.
Probably because the other anime podcasts have a better sense of this stuff than we do. And because we're going through every single OVA in order. Mm-hmm. And we're still 1985. We've been in 1985 for like this is episode 28. I think we've been doing this for almost a year.
Almost, pretty close.
And we've been in 1985 almost the entire time.
Yeah.
And I looked in 86, like this podcast can easily go for the next 10 years.
Yeah.
And by that point, we might reach 1993.
Maybe.
I think they started to die down because I don't think we're not gonna do every single one. I don't think we're gonna do ones that's clearly like an OVA of an existing show as much. We're trying to do original that's made especially for the video, not just because later on they started just adding like they go to the beach episode that came out with like the new manga edition. That's kind of what they would kind of do.
Yeah.
But we might skip some of those.
Yeah.
It's because we did some of those in the past and they're like, these aren't fun because we haven't seen this series.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's why why are we doing this though? It's a more important reason. Why are we watching all these OVAs? Well,
we're doing it for our Lord, the Dark Lord.
I don't know if the Dark Lord's really our Lord, other than I think it's just its name is Dark Lord.
Hmm.
Well, that's we still our Lord and Savior still Creamy Mommy,
right.
But I feel like, Dark Lord is it's a different kind of wish Dark Lord would change the name, but they don't really. Care. I mean, they go by tons of names, we decided to dabble in the dark arts, mostly because we were bored, and we wanted to summon some demons to do our biddings. I think it's eBay biddings that we wanted to do,
right? Yeah,
because it says in the notes biddings, but I think it's like, I think it's eBay biddings.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know if we know demons to do that with though. We discovered that a lot of like dark arts summoning demons and stuff. There's two different camps where a lot of that's in. That's in heavy metal songs and anime. And we thought we would go more the anime route because I can barely understand Japanese and all that stuff, but
right.
I can understand heavy metal lyrics and heavy metal font on their CDs.
Even less.
We both worked at a record store, and whenever heavy metal stuff is like, you have to alphabetize. I'm like, I don't know what this says.
Right.
And there's no fine print because it's like self-published.
Right.
Or it's from Norway. And I was like, right. I don't know what to do.
It's German or Norwegian.
But most of the Norwegian bands, they heavy metal bands, they would actually like the true Norwegian death metal, they would have actual like normal title. Like Mayhem was the biggest band. That's the band that a band member killed another band member, and then one of them committed suicide and they used it as their album cover. It's Mayhem, and it's like, oh, that's easy to read.
Right.
I was like, okay, anime has a lot of dark arts type of stuff. So we decided just to start from the beginning, and OVA seems like the best route, because there's all that, because one thing I knew about a lot of the OVAs, especially in the 80s and 90s, where there was a lot of really body horror, crazy sci-fi ones.
Yeah.
And we watched one about incest time travel.
Yeah.
But I learned a lot.
Sure. Yeah.
That's why we're here. We're here to do the biddings of the Dark Lords. I mean, right now I'm starting by candles.
Yeah. All the candles. A lot of
smells really good in here, because I don't have any of those like ritual candles. Like the kind you buy at like bodegas and stuff. Like the I don't have any of those type of candles. They're all like scented candles.
Yeah.
Very conflicting smells. One of them's like cedarwood, another one's like apple pie. And
It's the cacophony of smells that would draw in the demons.
They're all Yankee candles too, so it's like really powerful smith scents in here right now. Super powerful. So we're going through every OVA in order, and we're now in December 16th, 1985.
Oh, yeah.
And this is Fire Tripper.
Oh, yeah.
Which is it's an OVA created by one of the most prolific manga artists out there.
Yeah.
Who has a name. It's Rumiko.
Yeah.
Most people who at this point know who Rumiko is.
Oh, yeah.
First, before I get into the actual OVA, what happened on December 16th, 1985 in the world? Sometimes context matters.
Sometimes
we lose that a lot of times. So I look to see what events happened on that day. So I'm going to get ready. I'm going to get my newscaster voice going. Oh, this first one's hard. And Laotian revolts against Chancellor Yang Guzahong at Fangyang, inciting an Anxi rebellion during Chinese Tang Dynasty.
Yeah.
That happened on December 16th, 1985. Also in other news, in New York City, mafia boss Paul Castanello and Thomas Bialetti were shot dead in front of Sparks Steakhouse, making hit organizer John Gotti leader of the powerful Gambino crime family.
Well,
actually, I knew about that. Maybe not the names. Yeah. The names I always get confused. Also, a challenger moved to Vandenberg AFB for mating a AST 5L 51L mission.
Okay, mission. I guess the Challenger space shuttle.
They were getting ready to do stuff.
Oh, Air Force.
That's basically what that is. They went to another. They went to the Vandenberg Air Force Base
for mating
with another.
That's how you get new space shuttles. They get together and
that's sometimes what they call when they like refuel in the air. I think they do call that mating.
Yeah, and I think sometimes they would transport them on planes. They would just put the space shuttle on top of a plane and fly it somewhere.
Why this mating session they were doing at the STS 50L mission, I don't think they were putting in new O-rings into the Challenger. That's one that they should do. Yeah. And also just retrofitted the other shuttle with some new tiles and stuff. Just go ahead and just save both those shuttles, people's lives.
Yeah.
Because that's part of the Columbia challenge, the shuttle was also, that's also part of the same.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's weird that, like, I think there was the two ones were both those two, I think. There probably be some more.
That's the big
tragic loss. Anyway. Tragic loss.
Yeah.
I got really into the Challenger. I wanted to do a documentary on the Challenger because I found a bunch of raw footage of both in the, while everything was going on. Like, I found raw footage of the audience watching it live there. And then I found that there's videos of the inside the, chamber or inside like the actual Houston wherever's at the actual base, and it was real fascinating. And I saw like so much other footage, and then like Netflix came out with one, and I was like, oh, okay. And then the one they did it had way less footage than I found, and I was just like, it was just talking head stuff. And it was real fascinating to see, because when it happened, when the Challenger exploded, most people didn't know what was going on.
Yeah.
They really, you didn't, because you're just like, oh
yeah,
what? It looked off, but it didn't really make much of a sound. It didn't really kind of, because they're pretty high up.
Yeah.
But it was sad. In other news, the United States Congress approved $27 million in aid to the Nicaraguan Contras. Up down, left right, AB start. Yeah. That was when they were supporting a coup of some form. Also another, in tech news, the first version of Microsoft Windows was released on December 16th, 1985. Yeah.
Fun.
Yeah. I've never used the first, I've used 3.1, but I've never used just plain like Microsoft Windows 1.
Yeah.
I've never used it. 3.0 was the first one I kind of used. And then, of course, Windows 95 was the one.
Right, yeah.
I think we had a Windows 98 computer as our first computer.
Yeah, I think ours was 95, I think. Yeah, I think we had a 95.
We were kind of late to getting a computer. We got one in 99, I think, 98, 99. And in entertainment news, the film Out of Africa, directed by Sidney Pollack and starring Meryl Streep and Robert Redford, was released. Those were events that happened on the same day as Fire Tripper was released on Laserdisc and VHS in Japan. But what's this sumbitch about?
Well, on a day like any other, Suzuko meets one of her neighbor's children, Shu, in a park on her way back from school and decides to walk home with them. Tragically, they never make it home. Well, that's not entirely true, but Suzuko and the young boy are caught in a giant gas explosion. Though instead of dying instantly, Suzuko wakes up in the middle of a battlefield full of corpses in the Sengoku period.
And it's a group of Mirandan bandits attack Suzuko, but Shukumaru, a boy who came to loot the corpses to feed his starving family or starving village, saves her. They both return to the village. Suzuko refuses to give up searching for Shu and returns to the battlefield every day with Suzumiko trailing behind. Though Suzumiko lacks anything resembling modern manners, she gradually finds himself drawn towards him. Just what fate awaits the young girl in this bloody time period, this bloody period in Japan's history. I got that off my anime list. That was the synopsis they had, and that was not proofread very well by everyone involved. it's true, but it starts off with they're in the ancient Japan and feudal Japan, and the they're in a little hut that's on fire. And the samurai guy comes in, and then like this little girl is getting ready to, a beam's getting ready to fall on her. As Redford hits her, she disappears and wakes up in modern Japan. next to that same river that's in every anime.
That anime river.
Yeah, that like man-made river that's in every anime I've ever seen. There's a few I've seen that has like a normal looking river, but I assume it's an actual location. I don't think they've made that up. I assume that's like a major. I'm not disputing that, but it is in every single anime. and then it cuts to the credits, and then she's like in modern Japan, walking around as music plays. Then she finds this little boy who just got his I think it's an appendix, but he calls it like it's
appositis.
Appendicitis. Appendicitis. Yeah, he had appositis. Yeah, he had appositis, and he was showing his the kids in the playground off his scar. She ends up walking him home, and then they end up getting trapped in the biggest gas explosion. Is pretty pretty huge explosion. Half the city would have been leveled. I don't know what type of plant that was. So I mean that's a gas explosion, but and Waco a few years, like I think it was about a decade ago, I say a few years ago, and I thought about it probably 10 years ago, there was a fertilizer factory explosion, and it was like it shattered windows miles away. That was major. A lot has happened to Waco.
Can't catch a break.
And she ends up waking up in this battlefield full of dead soldiers around her. I didn't pick up that the samurai guy was looting the bodies. I didn't pick up on that.
Yeah.
He probably was. I looked down for like the brief second they did that probably.
Yeah. So yeah, it was a quick thing. But yeah.
But she doesn't flat out say I'm from a different time period, because before she can even react,
she never says that. Yeah.
Like there's some bandits that are there to rape her, I guess.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah. But luckily the samurai guy, what's his name?
Where is it? Shukumaru.
Shukumaru like kills them. He takes her to the village, and then they kind of just wander around the village for a while.
Yeah.
He keeps looking for that little boy.
Because she sees his shirt in a pile of, I guess, clothes that they've gotten from different
battlefields. But I was really surprised with at a certain point, because you realize that's a time period she's from originally.
Yeah.
And then I was surprised when she showed up as a little girl there.
Right.
I was genuinely surprised by that. I was like, oh, that's nice. Oh, okay. Because she's okay. Yeah. I thought they was going to use more of that. Like she calls the fire or something, like there was like a loop, like a time loop a little bit more that was going to happen because of it. But it really
didn't. Which there is, but also
not as much as it could have been. But
right,
even for like, and that would have worked for a short too. If you you could easily make it where I did a short film that called, I worked on with some people called, Not a Time Machine. And it ends with like a loop, 'cause it's about time travel.
Yeah.
Kind of fun little short we did about a VCR TV combo that this couple looking at a house travel back in time.
Yeah, that's fun.
And yeah, but so they end up just wandering around, and then she's still looking for this little boy, but there's a warring clans nearby that they're trying to burn down villages, because that did happen a lot during that time period.
Yeah,
I'm mostly basing that on samurai movies I've seen.
Right. Yeah.
That's more than just, as you said before we go to your first samurai movie, which is Turtles 3.
Yeah. I don't remember what the subtitle was, but
I think was it Turtles in Time?
It should have been, but I don't think they actually called it. Secret of the Ooze?
Go Ninja Go. Kevin Nash is Super Shredder.
Yeah.
Lots too, I actually really love Turtles 3. Lost in Time. I think it was Lost in Time.
Yeah, that's probably what it was.
Yeah, I really like Turtles 3. They hated it at the time, but when I was a kid, that was because it was a neat enough idea.
Yeah, it was so fun.
Well, I didn't really realize it's big now because everyone loves that isekai storyline, and that's essentially that's what it is.
Basically, is
with the turtles. They go back in time.
Yeah,
and it was fun, but. I've seen Samurai stuff, but I think that was the first one I've seen as well. And then I probably watched, then I watched like the Kurosawa films in college, in high school. Like that's, yeah. That was kind of the next step was like, oh, and yeah. I think maybe Last Samurai came out around that time too, which yeah. apparently is big probably on Netflix did. Right now.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. People like when like white people save.
Oh yeah.
Save people. Yeah.
Yeah.
They love the white savior. They love the white
savior. Yeah.
Yeah. They will. Yeah. They love them. But yeah. So, I don't even remember what's happening in this one. So she discovers that that it's almost dying from fire causes her to travel through time. Yeah. But I'm not sure if it's how much, like, I would like to know more about this fire time travel power.
Yeah.
Is it if when you almost get killed or going to be killed by fire that right. you go back in time, or is it like all fire can cause just time travel?
Right. Just being near fire.
No.
Or just or, because it's only really the explosion that she died by the fire. Because the other two would, because the first time is just the beam falling on her would have killed
yeah.
her.
Yeah.
Whether it was fire on fire or not. And then later, they almost get hit by a guy who's wielding a giant beam on fire. But
have you ever seen a movie called fire. Free Jack?
Free Jack.
Emilio Estevez and Mick Jagger. It's a sci-fi movie from the 80s. I think it's like early to mid 80s. It is mid 80s. And it's all about like Emilio Estevez plays a race car driver, any car driver. Yeah. And what happens was there is a company in the future that finds people right before they die and sends mm-hmm. them to the future to harvest their organs. Because wow. they are going to officially die in that accident. But what right. happens was they send Emilio Estevez into the future and he ends mm-hmm. up escaping.
Oh,
like,
nice.
Like right before they can like euthanize him and steal his organs.
Yeah.
And I think like Anthony Hopkins is in it too. And
oh wow,
Rene Russo. It's a really fun movie. It is.
Yeah,
it
sounds like a lot of fun.
Mick Jagger
yeah.
plays like a bounty hunter who's trying to get after like it's kind of like Looper.
Right. Yeah, that's cool.
It kind of reminds me of that. So I'm thinking like it could be like a Free Jack situation with the time travel. Like it's like right before she's going to die in this fire. They're going to die in that explosion. They get sent to a different time. Like. It's
could be.
They would explain it more now, I think. They would just be all like, oh, you died, you reincarnated in a different world.
Yeah.
Or it's a different time period of your own world. Oh.
Yeah. But back then it's like, it doesn't matter. Yeah. It just happens.
Yeah. Yeah. So it turns out like, and then they discover that when like, when the clan people, the bandits and stuff are coming in to burn everything down, she discovered that she can go back in time using the fire.
Yeah, she sees her younger self go.
Yeah, and that's when she realized. Yeah. I think it's when she fully realized that that's her too. Yeah. I think she didn't really fully know that that was her. But yeah, this whole time, Samurai guy was like constantly like, I'm going to marry her. We're going to get married. I'm trying to sleep with her. But she suspects that like, oh, I'm your little sister.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh no, you're a little sister. And then they both almost die in a fire and then ended up sent to modern day.
Back to modern day.
Yeah. And then she discovers the spoilers for this anime that
spoilers. Here comes the twist.
Another twist is that turns out the samurai guy is not actually her brother, but that little boy with the apple cider scars. I guess he got sent slightly before in time.
Yeah, because I guess when they exploded,
She
let go of his head. They got separated, and he went back
tunnel.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah,
time stuff. Yeah. Yeah, so he gets there before she does. And
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the twist, it's not actual incest.
No.
Not an incest.
And then they realize they can be together. And then, but at the same time, like, so, and then, but I think they arrived before the explosion happened.
Yeah.
And that's when she realizes, oh no, you're that little boy.
Yeah.
And at first you thought like, well, she's going to stop that explosion from happening.
Yeah.
No.
No, we want to go back.
He just uses that to go back in time again, so she can marry.
But her together, brother. Right? Yeah, yeah.
It's her, not her brother. Her not but brother. Her brother. It's her not her not brother. Brother. It was just
yeah,
yeah. So I guess he's actually from the present day, but she's actually from the
past. She is from the past. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there was this little bell the whole time, and I thought maybe the bell was the time travel thing.
Mm, yeah,
that wasn't really fully sure.
No, I think it was just there for so she could realize that she was from the past or whatever. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I don't know. So that's the whole gist of Fire Tripper. I really like the time travel stuff was really fascinating. It's definitely something that I know the creator, she's done more later. And I can see the inspiration of other anime in this too. Like that.
Right.
What's that other anime she did?
Inuyasha.
Inuyasha is about a time travel girl who travels back in time.
Yeah.
Ends up with a cat creature and stuff. I think it works a lot better in that one. This reminds me a lot of Your Name. David Caldwell.
My name.
No, it does remind me of Your Name because yet again that is but Your Name is like it's the best way this story could be, I think, because it is very much because you have the two people that are fond of love from different time periods. But this one they have the other trope of like body swapping,
which is
fun, and then halfway through you discover like it's a different she's in a different time period.
Yeah,
and it's all about trying to stop a catastrophe from happening, and it works really well. And this one, it's just like, no, we can benefit from this. We're gonna benefit from knowing that, like everyone, like those parents, if they didn't die in that explosion themselves, thought their son did,
right?
and their little boy with appleciitis is forever gone.
His
life.
And those two businessmen that were standing there talking, they're dead too.
They're salarymen. I mean, they're not really alive.
Excuse me, salarymen. Yeah,
yeah. So this is created by Takahashi Rumiko, who is the most prolific manga artist.
Yeah, definitely most prolific still living.
Yeah,
Tezuka might still be, but she's definitely right up there.
Yeah, commercially successful work beginning in 1978 with Yatsura, which I watched some of, and I do really like that show, and I like they brought it back, and I started watching some of it. It's on High. Unfortunately, it's on High Dive, which is the worst. It's the worst app for anime. God awful.
So bad.
But I have found some episodes that fell off a truck. One of them fell off a truck. It's anime perfected piracy. Like Crunchyroll was a piracy website that's now a legit streaming service.
Yeah, it's not legit.
That's made their own anime. Like, and they were just like a fan subbing pirating website. Like,
yeah.
They're the ones who made money out of piracy. Most people don't.
Right. They were able to turn it into a legitimate business.
She is the best known and wealthiest manga artist. I would say it would be like her and like the Dragon Ball guy.
Yeah, that's probably the two biggest
ones.
Yeah,
and probably like Tesumika, probably too. But I mean, he's dead.
Tesumika, yeah.
So, his
estate probably.
But he's the godfather, so he's like the older generation. These two are still doing stuff.
Right. Maybe the One Piece guy. He might be up there too, just because it's been going for.
Has he done anything other than One Piece?
I'm not entirely sure. Maybe before
One Piece. Is it possible for him to do anything other than One Piece? Think about how long One Piece has been going on. He maybe probably never had a chance to, like, I have another idea. And they just, like...
They're like, no, just...
It is just throw a bento box at his head and tell you get back to work.
Put it into One Piece. That's why it keeps going, because he has these different ideas for different stories, and they're just like, his publisher's just like
Chris Claremont and X-Men?
Right, yeah. It's like, no, just put it into One Piece. He's like, oh. Okay, I guess so. It's making us too much money.
That's true.
We can't stop.
Her works are worldwide known. She won some manga award twice that I never heard of. Her show, we don't really need to go to this deep story on her because she is pretty prolific. Yeah. People are aware of her works, of her stuff. I haven't really read any of her mangas, but I watched the adaptations.
Yeah.
I watched, of course, a lot. Most of her stuff has been adapted.
Yeah. Yeah. Most of it has. Yeah.
I think some of it she's actually was a part of. I watched some more of the Mason San Ikoyu.
Yeah. So I've got the manga that I haven't.
Or I'm trying, I don't know how any of this stuff is pronounced. I never heard anyone say these words out loud.
Yeah, that one.
As popular as they are, I never, like, I can say Ramna. Ramna half, I've seen.
Ramna half, yeah. That
I keep on calling Ramna one half because it just sounds better.
Yeah, I think it is one half.
It's Ramna half is the way it's listed, but.
Yeah, but I think you actually do say one half. Yeah. I think that's how it's said. Anyway.
But Ramna, I do love Ramna. Ramna's, like, I've been watching all of Ramna. I started watching all of Ramna years ago, and I'm now. I think I have like 20-some, 30 episodes left. But right now I'm watching My Hero Academia because I decided I wanted to watch a normal popular anime. And I actually kind of enjoy My Hero. Oh, I was generally like surprised. I didn't think I was going to like it. And I kind of was like, cause it's on like Hulu and it was like dubbed and I was just like, yeah, I'll give it a shot. And a little bit later I'm on season 5.
Yeah,
I mean it's a good like 6 months later that I got that far because I keep picking it up, putting it down. But last few days I've been watching a good bit.
So you've only watched the first episode of that.
It's good, and I got pretty far in, and I realized there was movies, and I was like, oh, so I went back and watched when the movie's supposed to take place, and then I realized the movies aren't canon.
Yeah, they usually aren't.
which I was surprised by. I was just like, okay,
yeah.
I don't know why they could, like, I think Pokemon was.
Yeah, but you're also not, it's also not based off any manga or anything.
I mean, Mewtwo's not based off.
I mean, there is a manga, but
when I got into Pokemon, I think the first movie just came out. The first movie just came out, and I remember watching it, and I was like, it was fine. I didn't really, I remember watching some of the Pokemon cartoon show.
You didn't cry when Ash died? Or was it Pikachu? I forgot.
I didn't,
one of them dies, technically.
In that one?
Yeah, I think
I wasn't invested enough to, like...
That's fair. And Mewtwo brings him back to life because he...
Yeah, probably because, like, there was a psychic godlike Pokemon that I didn't like, okay.
Yeah.
I wasn't really, the stakes didn't seem real when it was just, like...
I mean, that's fair.
You have, like, an omni-powerful... super god that's
And
that you can still shove in a fucking ball and make children fight other children with,
which now in Legends Arceus it's canonically that the Pokemon just, it's like a defense mechanism, they shrink when you hit them apparently. So that's why they shrink and can go in the Pokeball.
I saw a weird video talking about how like there's been videos of people putting hamster wheels in the wild and like the animals still play on them.
Yeah,
and it's just like,
apparently,
I guess
Pokemon animals just like being in balls.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, if we could like TARDIS our way into like a Pokeball, I don't know if I'd be completely. I would like try it out, and it may be cool in there.
Yeah,
like a genie bottle. When it's like you watch My Dream of Genie when they go in there, and it's just
it's like
that bottle's full of like
super
like
chill,
like silk
cushions and tons of pillows
and stuff. It looks comfortable. Whole thing looks like a waterbed.
Yeah, I'd hang out in there for sure.
Yeah, hell yeah, hell yeah. It's definitely a chill down there, and it's a fun vibe. It's definitely a swinger vibe.
Oh, yeah.
Genies just love to, like...
Super swinger vibes,
Love to swap siblings, or swap partners. I almost said siblings. Oh,
yeah.
Fucking anime.
If I Dream of Genie was an anime, it would be...
It has ruined me.
If I Dream of Genie had an anime, it would be siblings.
Like, what do normal people... Like... I watch football now just as like a counterbalance of like just this shit.
Yeah.
Just to like, so I can feel like I'm part of Earth.
Just kind of even out. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Contribute some to society. She did the Mermaid Saga, which I knew nothing about. Mermaid
seems cool. I haven't read that one. I know Viz reprinted it. That's all I know about it.
I've been meaning to watch that, Insura, whatever the fuck it's called.
Inuyasha.
Yes, but I just haven't got around to it. But I do like the idea that the Mason Akiru, I don't know what it's called. That one is, I watched Mason, several episodes of that one. I do really like that one. There actually is really good English dub of that as well.
Oh, it's nice.
Streaming nowhere. But I think, but it is on like Blu-ray. I feel like there is like a good release of it.
Of course.
Just not in a way that like Americans can reach it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, and it's pretty good. I was surprised there's English dub of that one because it's
good. Yeah, very mature. Surprising. Yeah, mature, like kind of. It's kind of like romantic comedy a little bit, isn't it? Like kind of slice of life.
Yeah, it's a slice of life romantic comedy. That's, I love those in my anime.
Yeah, so I've got a couple of the volumes of
I watched My Hero Academia because I was like I watched too much.
Yeah.
Like slice of life stuff that I kind of was like, okay, like I want to watch a good battle anime.
And
with good fights.
Yeah.
And you know, and superheroes, they're, no one gets tired of them.
Oh no, not at all. You know what a good battle kind of recent one was Jujutsu Kaisen. It's kind of a,
but it's okay, kind of, I've it's heard like that a, one's good.
It's kind of like a spooky Naruto a little bit.
But with My Hero Academia, what but I like about it is because I forgot how much I miss like superhero stories involving like people who want to do good and good intentions and like hope.
Who want to do it like, for good reasons.
Because everything became like dark and gritty and like anti-hero on both DC and Marvel. It's all kind of like everyone's kind of like, well, just look, I'm going to kill these people. Which there is a character in My Hero Academia who's like that, and I fully
of course
with a passion. And each character's like trying to be their this person's friend. I was like, this person's a supervillain who needs to be stopped. And you're treating him like he's your best friend, and he's a true hero. When he's done nothing but tell people, I'm going to murder you.
Yeah.
And explode stuff. It's, he's the worst. I've watched too much of that show. And too much of just everything. But so the director of this is also named, his last name is Takahashi. It's Takahashi Murasaki. We've talked about him before.
Yeah, he did Justy.
Yes.
Cosmo Police Justy.
He did Cosmo Police Justy. I thought maybe he was related to Rumiko because they have the same last name, but that could have been a pretty popular last name.
Yeah, just a coincidence, I think.
But I like the idea of like, oh, there's a husband and wife team that made this.
Yeah.
That would be weird cool. Incest time travel movie.
That would make sense.
Of course, we talked about him some before. Done Cosmo Police Justy, Fire Trooper. He did Super Gal, which is another one. That's another Rumiko joint. Which we will be covering that one, which is an 86er, and that we'll be covering that one fairly soon. He did several more of her stuff. I think he directed all of her this era OVAs.
Yeah, that's what it looks like. It looked like before he mostly did character design and directed
a bunch of. He was a sub character design for a bunch of episodes of Bleach.
Yeah,
yeah.
I watched Bleach.
Yeah,
I did watch it. It's fun.
Yeah,
it's cool.
I had a friend in college who was really into that, and she wanted me to read the manga. And that was the first time I ever read a manga, and I was just like, "Oh, okay." Yeah. It was just like it was too much of the deep end for me. Like I'd rather read like Lone Wolf and Cub first, like something like that would probably I would enjoy.
That'd been a good way to ease.
I think I had read some of Lone Wolf and Cub, but that one was released by Image, and it was released in like the normal English way.
Yeah,
It wasn't released backwards.
Yeah, it was a Dark Horse actually.
Dark Horse, but they
flipped it, so it was
I remember the first time I saw like manga art, and I was just like, oh, the detail on it.
Yeah.
And I was like, I wonder what this looks like in color. And I still wonder.
Yeah.
But I understand why it is a lot. That's a lot to do. And like when you discover like hentai manga and you're just like, this is a lot of detail for this. Like why?
Right.
Like, why is so much detail on this?
Look, it's just what they do.
But this guy, he went to design school. He kind of,
makes sense.
Yeah. Has a little bit of information here about him. He worked for a lot of Sunrise. He found Studio Ducata and became a one of their directors.
That's right. Cool.
So is this is there a manga of this or
There is, yeah. It was published in August 1983 in a Shonen Sunday Zoken. I think that was probably one of their monthly magazines.
Okay.
But yeah, so it was just kind of a one-off, basically. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, it felt like it was kind of a short thing. Yeah. Because she does go to the storyline much more later.
Yeah.
In multiple of her works, so.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to know more about this firepower she has.
Yeah, that would be something.
This free jackness. I mean, because I feel like it is free jack powers. Like, it's just because Emilio Estevez was going to die in a IndyCar race or crash, which did involve fire,
which would have been fire. Yeah,
so they could easily be using Fire Tripper. Fire Tripper is also like a better name than like it's free jack or Fire Tripper. Like,
yeah.
Fire Tripper also works for that title for that same exact movie. Fire Tripper does sound a little more post-apocalyptic, I would say.
Yeah, it does. A little bit.
But still, like, it's still the future. There's like car chases and stuff. I feel like this also works good as a free jack.
Yeah.
I could see Fire Tripper as free jack.
I could see that, yeah.
Free jack does sound a little bit more of a hentai. There is one called Body Jack that I think we might be covering, which is on the cusp. I don't know.
We'll find out.
We'll find out. but it looks like the manga was released. Viz Media released it. That's good.
Yeah.
Probably, I figured they released all of her stuff. I thought they would do that with Tezuka, but I think we realized they didn't.
Yeah, no, surprisingly. Yeah, a lot of.
There's
a couple companies now putting out a lot of stuff, but yeah. I think it's because, at least at the time, I think his style was too. I guess they felt it was too.
Childish
old style,
yeah,
a little too old school cartoon.
Yeah, because a lot of the children's entertainment style kind of uses his a little bit more,
yeah. So that's probably they probably just thought this wouldn't, yeah. So surprisingly, yeah, not a lot of his stuff in English, but that's changing now, thankfully,
yeah. As this one goes, I think it's worth watching. Definitely, if you're a fan of hers and you're a fan of a lot of her other works, because it's seeing kind of where the stories begin and kind of seeing this style of story, which, as I said, it's like reminds me a lot of like Your Name, a lot of other stuff. Kind of seeing kind of where all that kind of began.
Yeah,
and I mean she does a good job of it, and it's on YouTube. You can watch it on YouTube.
Yeah,
I say check it out.
For sure. I agree.
Yeah. It's short. It's only like 40 some minutes.
Yeah.
But what is not short is next episodes. We're doing Love Position, The Legend of Haley, from 1985. This one is feature length. It's feature length. So it's like an hour and 20 some minutes.
Okay.
I'm hoping it's pretty good. Based on what I can figure on it, I thought it was a porn. Oh, it's a hentai. It's not.
I mean, yeah.
I think it's about Haley's Comet. I think it's like a slice of life romance action thing about Haley's Comet, I do believe. Not sure. But you can find it on YouTube, like everything else. Probably on YouTube and archive.org. That's where all this stuff is. You can be found.
Yeah.
Because no one really cares to like copyright claim it.
Yeah.
A lot of the companies who don't know who owns this, they don't know who owns it themselves.
Don't know or care, probably.
Yeah.
So
that's coming next episode. So fire cleansing for time travel does seem like a interesting way of using this towards the dark arts and having it so we can maybe do some sort of sacrifice where maybe we can summon a demon to do our eBay biddings.
Because
I'm thinking, because fire is cleansing. Plus, they use it for like regrowth and forests and stuff. They burn stuff and stuff like that. So a controlled fire is a way of cleansing. I can definitely see that as some sort of ceremony we could do.
Mm-hmm.
I can maybe bring the Dark Lord onto our onto Earth. They can take their, I want to say he, but I actually don't know what gender the Dark Lord prefers. Because I don't personally know the Dark Lord.
No.
Or any of the what, but what I do know is the Dark Lord is all, I guess, and powerful and evil.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I feel like that's like normally, like when I play video games, I normally don't do the evil side.
Yeah.
I normally do the good side. So I thought, why not this time with my actual life? I'm going to do the dark arts, do some evil stuff involving this podcast.
Yeah.
I don't know what we're going to sacrifice. I'm not really like want to do like people because that feels like a lot of that feels like a little much, or animals.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it'd be a bit much.
Guess I can do it like religion and just kind of do like, oh, this is a proxy for actual.
Yeah.
Sacrificing. Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to leave a sandwich outside.
Mm. Yeah.
And then next to a candle.
Yeah.
See what happens.
Yeah. Hopefully.
Hopefully.
Summoning the Dark Lord.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we got more of these OVAs to cover, so maybe we can think up more game plans on how, because I haven't really done any research on this whatsoever. I kind of just, most of this is based on stuff we've already watched.
Yeah.
And just in general, that I was like, okay, well, the Dark Lord normally comes from a different dimension.
Yeah.
It's normally not actually a Dark Lord, but just someone who got too powerful in a different world.
Yeah.
But it's fine with that. Sure. I mean, I'm not, I don't begin to understand any of this stuff. I just, trying to decipher it myself.
Yep. Just need help with those eBay bids, really.
Yeah. Maybe these demons can just help me bid on, a Ducey Laserdisc of Fire Tripper.
Ooh, nice.
It's going for, guess I might just, I mean, it's currently, I found it for $200 on eBay on Laserdisc. So, I mean, it seems a little high, and that is a buy it now.
Yeah.
So maybe I can find a cheaper one. Oh, no, here's a cheap one for $74. $77, and it's still buy it now, too. Yeah, or I can make offer. The demons can make offer for me, too. I wanted to do my biddings, but I feel like that's still in the ballpark. Yeah. And there's an ad here that says record a perfect podcast. Fuck you.
Yeah.
It's actually from Buzzsprout. That's what I use. Okay. Well.
Oh, I see the this might be the English dub on Laserdisc for $77 or best offer.
Oh yeah. $79, another one. Damn. Okay. I figured her stuff would have a market for it.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Oh, because here's the Viz comic for.
I don't have my lasers.
Get it for a dollar.
I don't have a lasers player anymore, so.
It's unfortunate.
Yeah. But $195. Someone's asking a lot of money for these, but also like, they're probably worth it.
Oh, probably. Well, here's one for $40.
Image Entertainment released it. U.S. Manga. This one says original Japanese language dialogue with English subtitles.
Yeah, I see that now. Yeah. That's cool though.
It's cool that we actually get to see what the actual OVA looked like when it came out.
Yeah.
As normally we can't.
Right.
Huh. Is it possible for us to join the US manga corps? I assume it's like Green Lantern.
I would assume so, yeah. I would hope we can.
Maybe we do that next. Yeah, so I guess that's it for tonight. Trying to think what else I got to got our plugs. You can check out my other podcast, Stagecoach Justice. That's a Western podcast. We just finished our Django series, so we're getting ready to start a new one on Bud Bedecker and Randolph Scott. Bedecker is a really good director. Did a bunch of these really good westerns with Randolph Scott. We're going back to 1950s because we watched a bunch of spaghetti westerns and we were tired of them.
Yeah,
it's just too much at once, and they're all the same movie. So it's they're like all, okay, so we're excited to get back in the
50s. Yeah,
get back to like some fun good stuff. You can check that out. I also have a movie I wrote and produced called Reenactment that's on Tubi and on DVD on Amazon for $5. Pick it up. Yeah. It's free on Tubi, but it's $5 for a physical copy. Yeah. Check it out. Also, check out Free Jack.
Yeah, I know I will. And I've got some comics out. My most recent one is a sequel to Yankee Doodle Strangler. It's wrestling, a wrestling sequel.
I'm a Yankee Doodle Strangler. He's a Yankee Doodle Goo. Free Jack is currently streaming on Peacock, Roku, and Tubi.
Tubi. It really is the people streaming service.
It really is the people streaming service. You got Free Jack and the reenactment. You got just right now. It came out in 92. Wow. Jeff Murphy did it. Do you know what other movie Jeff Murphy directed? Under Siege 2 Dark Territory. It's literally true. Both podcasts, I keep suggesting Under Siege 2. And boom, same director. He's an Australian director. Australian or New Zealand. He's good. I do like his stuff. Check out Free Jack. That's all I got.
Yeah.
Okay. See ya.
See ya.